pilgrims for Jesus in a lowland of sin, hoping that we at last the life crown may win. Serving the Master from the morning are we. Sunset is coming, but the sunrise we'll see.
Sunset is coming, but the sunrise we'll see.
Heavenly beauty makes the shadows to flee.
Glory is waiting when the Spirit is free.
Sunset is coming, but the sunrise we'll see.
Strangers but happy in this vineyard today, trying to help our Lord and Savior away.
Serving the Master through the noontime are we. Sunset is coming, but the sunrise we'll see.
Weary and footsore ere the battle is won, trusting the promise that we'll hear is well done.
Serving the Master all the evening are we. Sunset is coming, but the sunrise we'll see.
Sunset is coming, but the sunrise we'll see.
Heavenly beauty makes the shadows to flee.
Glory is waiting when the Spirit is free.
Sunset is coming, but the sunrise we'll see. Sunset is coming, but the sunrise we'll see.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, men. Open your Bible to the book of 1 John, chapter 3. 1 John, chapter 3. When I was a little boy in Sunday school, my Sunday school teacher taught me to memorize these in memorizing the books of the Bible. And these were, Gospel of John was Big John, and the epistles were Little John's. 1 John chapter 3. Having found your place, stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, and I will begin to read in verse number 1. John said, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not." As a Christian, if you want to be loved and recognized by the world, don't expect it. If you're living for Jesus, Jesus said they didn't love Him. They didn't accept Him. They won't love you either. But we're not here for the world. We're not a part of the world. We're of a different family. We have a different heritage. We have a different future. Verse number 2 says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as He is pure." Now, I hear Christians all the time saying, "Well, I'm not going to worry about this or that. I'm just waiting on God to change me." Listen, God said, if you have this hope in you, if you're a child of God, if you believe that Jesus is coming again, every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself. Now, Jesus took care of us as far as our sin is concerned on the record of God, past, present, and future. But there's some old things in this flesh that we need to deal with. We need to get right with. We need to clean up this old body of flesh, because we know we are children of God and Jesus is coming again soon. I want you to notice verse number 2. And this statement, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God." Now are we the sons of God. Say it with me. Now are we the sons of God. I want to speak to you this morning on the subject. Now. Now. Father, help me this morning as I bring this message. that you might use it to show us the urgency of the moment and the hour concerning our life and our relationship with Thee. Thank You for our faithful people. Thank You for the many that have not experienced the upper respiratory problems or the stomach virus that's going around, and they are in their place in God's house this morning. And we pray, Father, for those that were not able to be here due to those sicknesses, that You would touch them and heal them and raise them up. We ask Your special blessings upon Brother Dockery as he goes through the 3 months of chemotherapy. Lord, that You would heal his body and raise him up from the problems he's dealing with. Be with his family and strengthen them and provide for them. Though he tries to work during this time, it's going to be in the later times a struggle for him, and we ask for Your help. Now, Lord, I'm speaking this morning to You in behalf of our people that are here, those that are listening to my voice and the voice of other men and women who are teaching in children's churches or preaching in children's churches and in our Spanish department. God, would You save every unsaved soul that stepped onto this property today? And we'll thank You in advance for what You shall do. There's some people here that need to make this their church home. God, help them to come today and join with us and begin to serve You and live for You and enjoy the blessings of God on their life. Now, we need You. We'll thank You for what You shall do this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. One of the things that characterizes much of mankind today is the awful sin of procrastination. Have you ever procrastinated? When you say that word, you sound like you need to get right with God, don't you? We find it easy in the flesh to put off to a later time what we ought to be doing today. When I was a little boy growing up in East Texas, we used to listen to the radio quite a bit. Notice, brother, I said radio. Brother Branscombe used to be my youth pastor down in Baton Rouge, and he'd always make fun of me because I'd call radios radios and radishes radishes and things of that nature. So I said that purposely just for him. But we used to listen to the radio quite a bit. We didn't have TVs, didn't even have electricity. We'd have to take the battery off the car and bring it in the house and hook it up to the old 6-volt radio, and we'd tune in, listen to an hour and a half, 2 hours in the evenings when I was growing up. And we used to listen to some singing. It was special to hear singing out of that box. One of the songs back in the 40s that I enjoyed was a song with a Spanish flavor to it called Mañana. It goes like this. I'm not going to sing it. The window, she is broken, and the rain is coming in. If someone doesn't fix it, we'll be soaking to our skin. But if we wait a day or two, the rain will go away. And who'll need a window on such a sunny day? Mañana. Mañana. Mañana is good enough for me. Now the word mañana means later or perhaps tomorrow. And that's the spirit of so many people today. This is the attitude of the devil would have us take concerning our Christian life and things we ought to be doing in the spiritual sense for God. He'd have us put it off to a later time. Put it off until tomorrow. I hear the old devil saying to people, just don't deal with it now. Wait until tomorrow. Or don't accept Christ as Savior today. Put it off to a later time. Don't get right with God now. There's plenty of time when you get older. He says to a lot of our young people, don't get into church and live for God today. Wait until you've sown your wild oats. Wait until you've lived a little. By the way, it was the devil that told you you need to sow wild oats. Don't you know that if you sow wild oats, you're going to reap wild oats? Because you reap what you sow more than you sow and later than you sow. What fool told you that? They say, why don't you live a little? What fool told you that doing right and living for God wasn't living? I guarantee you, most sinners here could not keep up with this old, almost 70-year-old preacher for a week. And I guarantee you, you don't have half of the enjoyment of life that I have serving God. Some of you have believed the devil's lie again and again and again. But the facts are simple. The jails are full of people who were going to quit doing wrong tomorrow. The alcoholic and drug wards of hospitals are filled with those who plan to get help tomorrow before they were addicted. The cemeteries are dotted with graves of people who are going to straighten out their lives tomorrow. Now they're really straightened out. Marriages by the thousands have ended in divorce, but they were going to get help tomorrow. Hell is full of sinners who didn't plan to go there. They wanted to go to heaven, but they were going to get saved tomorrow. Those who are living lives that are victorious are those who have grown to know how to make decisions in their life and for Christ now, in the time called now. Every soul in heaven and every soul that has accepted Christ as Savior did so in a time called now. If your life is ever going to amount to anything for God and good and right, then you must stop putting off until tomorrow what God is asking you to do for Him today. Do it now. Today I want you to consider three nouns as I have seen in the Word of God. First of all, notice the now of the child of God, our text verse. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. If you've ever been saved, if you've ever been born again, then you will never become more of a child of God than you are right now. Now are we children of God. You can never become more saved in the future than you are now. You may grow to understand and enjoy your salvation more, but God said to His children, now are we the sons of God. Our soul will not be more saved when we get to heaven than we are right now if we've trusted Christ as our Savior. We are children of God now. We are saved now. We are born again, forgiven, and cleansed now. If you've accepted Christ as Savior. Therefore, don't you think we ought to rejoice about it now? Don't you think we ought to live like a saved person now? Don't you think we ought to start serving our Lord like a Christian ought now? Romans 13:11 says, and that knowing the time, that now, it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. In that verse, there's two salvations spoken of. You say, preacher, I thought there's just one. No, there's two salvations for every Christian. Two salvations for every Christian. The first salvation is referred to is when we believed. That's talking about when our soul and spirit got saved. That's when you got born again. Now, I hate to tell you this, when your soul and spirit got saved, your body didn't. That's the reason you've got so much problems, so many problems with this old flesh. This body is constantly pulling us away from God. This old flesh don't want to read the Bible. And by the way, that's normal for the flesh. If you're a Christian and you don't want to go to church, you don't want to read the Bible, you don't want to pray, you don't want to go soul winning, that's normal when you're living in this body of flesh. But that's the reason God tells us to walk in the Spirit and not the flesh. Yield to the Holy Spirit so we can overcome the lust and the temptations of the flesh. If you don't want to do any of these things that I've just mentioned, then you're just telling everybody I'm saved, but I'm more carnal than I am spiritual. It doesn't have to be that way. You can enjoy being a Christian now. You can walk in the Spirit now. But the first salvation spoken of here in this verse is talking about the salvation of our soul and spirit when we were born again. Now all those who have been saved are conscious of this new birth at the time we believed and received Christ as Savior. I don't believe there's anybody that's really saved that don't know they're saved. No more than anybody that's married that don't know they're married. Do you know you're saved? Well, I sure do. I was there when it happened. I know I'm married. I was there when it happened. I said I do to my wife, and back in August the 23rd, 1954, I said I do accept Jesus as my Savior, and I did. And He saved me. And I've had a conscious awareness of His presence. That I'm saved. His Holy Spirit moved in me and my body became His dwelling place. And that's not just true of me. It's true of every person who's been born again. There are two voices that speak to you constantly. That's the voice of the Spirit of God directing you in the way and the will of God. And the voice of the old flesh and the devil who is speaking to you to pull you away from God and do those things that are not according to the plan and the will of God. And then the second salvation mentioned here is the salvation of the body. One of these days, thank God, our body is going to be saved and be on the same level with our soul and spirit that's saved. You say, preacher, when does that take place? At Jesus coming at the rapture. So body will be resurrected. It'll be glorified. We'll be given a new body, a body likened to the resurrected body of Christ. No more suffering, no more sickness, no more frailties. A new body. Now, God is warning us as Christians now to wake up and realize the coming of Christ is nearer than when we believed. On the surface of the rearview mirror on the passenger side of your automobile are these words. Objects in this mirror are nearer than they appear. And I want you to know one of the things the Bible says about itself that is that it's a mirror. It's a looking glass. And in this looking glass, it's talking about Jesus coming again. And let me say, His coming is nearer than it might appear to you. He wants us to get right now. Get ready now because Jesus is coming again. You gave thought about getting up and getting dressed for church this morning. Some of you mumbled. They changed the times and it's 30 minutes earlier. You thought about that? Some of you got up this morning and gave thought about the weather. Some of you thought about where you was going to eat after church. But how many of you gave even one thought about the fact that Jesus is coming again? And now is His coming nearer than it's ever been before? And this could be that day. Now is the time for every Christian to get right, to get ready, to get active, to get faithful, to get in church and serve God and live for Him. Now is that time. not tomorrow. Secondly, I want you to consider the now of the unsaved. The now of the unsaved. Isaiah chapter 1 verse 18. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Isn't it amazing? Jesus didn't say, find a time that's convenient to you and come. No, he said, come now. Come now. Not tomorrow, not next week, not next month. Come now. Now is the time for every unsaved person here to think about their soul and where you will spend eternity. Not one soul who's in hell will ever have another chance to get saved or to get out. Not one person in the graveyard will have another opportunity to get right with God or with God's family. But our great God says to us, come now. Come now. There is a time now for you. There is an opportunity now for you to come to Christ and get saved. We're told to come now, though we be covered with sins. Come now. Let us reason together. Come now, though your sins be as scarlet. Scarlet stained, sinful stains all over the body. The average person I talk to says, preacher, but I want to clean up some things before I come to God. God said, you can't do that. What are you going to wash sin off with? What are you going to wash it away with? The only cleansing provided for sin is the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And he says, come now. Come now. Come now. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. God is saying, come now. Come now. Lost soul, now is the time to think about dying without Christ and all that awaits you in eternity. Now think about it. I don't want you to be surprised, because this is sure for every soul who dies without Christ. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 9 verse 27, and as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment. Without Christ one day you are going to die. The first thing that's going to happen when you die, before they have your funeral, before they prepare your body for burial, you'll be before God and in hell forever and forever and ever. Think about it now. You say, oh man, in the flames, I wish I'd heard about this before. You're hearing now. Think about it now. Come now. Come with your sins. Come with your lost condition. Come on your way to hell. Stop and meet Jesus, who'll change your life and wash that sin away. And then finally, I want you to consider the now of eternal salvation. The now of eternal salvation. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, the Bible says, for he saith, I have heard thee in an accepted time, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. In God's plan of salvation, there is not a time to put it off or to wait until a better time. But God said, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. God's plan for the lost sinner to be saved is now, not later. It's no accident you're here today. If you're here without Christ, God knew you was going to be here. God wanted me to preach this message because he wanted you to know that now is the time for you to get saved. Now, not tonight, not tomorrow, but now is the time. God's will for you is that you accept Christ as Savior now. Your eternal salvation can begin now when you get saved and not just after you die. Again, I talk to so many people, and they say, oh yeah, I can't wait for my salvation to start after I die. Hey, that's not when it starts. It begins the moment you accept Christ as Savior. Remember our text? Beloved, now are we the children of God. Now are we the... You say, preacher, is that the only verse that says that? No, but I'm glad you asked. Jesus said in John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, present tense, and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, right now, the moment you believe, and shall not come into condemnation, that's at no time in the future, but is, right now, the moment you believe, passed from death unto life. Jesus said again in John chapter 5, verse 25, following just what we've read. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is come, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. You said, oh, preacher, one of these days he's going to speak, and the dead's going to rise, be raised. That's not what he's talking about. In verse 24, he's talking about getting saved right now. He's talking about having everlasting life now. And he's telling those people there's coming a day, and it now is, that when God speaks to hearts, people are going to come alive. They're going to be born again. They're going to be saved. They're going to have life everlasting. Yes, yes, there's coming a day when the dead in Christ shall be raised. But that's at the end of the age. He said, and now is. He's talking about lost sinners, those dead in trespasses and sin, being made alive when they accept Jesus Christ as Savior. The lost sinner can hear the voice of God, the Holy Spirit of God, speaking to your heart. And some of you are hearing right now Him speak, saying you need to be saved. You need to be saved now. God has made that possible only through Calvary and the substitutional death of Christ for us. And oh, my dear friend, if we have ever listened to anything, we need to listen to that voice that's speaking to our hearts now. We need to hear that voice. And He said, if we'll listen, hear, and obey, we can live. We can have life everlasting. We can be born again. Now is the time for each person here to take a look at your heart and your life. Are you saved? Have you been born again? If you have, then there is a witness within you. While I was preaching the Word of God and using this Scripture, there is a witness within you, and that's the Holy Spirit of God who's saying, that's your promise. He's bringing to mind when you got saved. But there are people in here listening to my voice. You're hearing the voice that says, you need to be saved. Not you have been saved. You need to be saved. You need to be born again. I can't tell you how many people have walked these aisles and said, preacher, I need to get saved. And I said, well, I thought you were saved. He said, no. Mama told me I was when I was a kid, but I don't have any understanding or knowledge of it. My dear friend, if that's you, you need to get born again. You know, salvation is not say-so because somebody said, yeah, I think you are. Salvation is real, and when you've been born again, you know you are. You can remember when you cried out to Christ as a lost sinner, asking Him to forgive your sins and save your soul. Now is the time. The Holy Spirit is speaking to hearts right now. I beg you to hear Him and say yes. And may I say to you that if you're in touch with Satan, if you're unsaved, you're hearing his voice. And it's his voice that's saying, wait, not today. And he'll give you every excuse you can imagine, if you'll use them, why you shouldn't get saved today. But God is saying no now. Today. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Will you trust Him? Will you obey Him? Will you live? Will you have life everlasting? It's yours today as a gift if you'll come trusting Him. Father, that's our message. How we need You. We thank You that as we look over this congregation, we can remember when most of these people got saved. Yet there's many here that came to us from other places having been saved at other times. And we're grateful they got saved. We're grateful they know You as Savior. Lord, thank God that salvation is not limited to one place, but it's limited to trusting Jesus as Savior. There's no other substitute for that. And thank God, our salvation is not required to or limited to a geographical location, but it's limited to Your plan and Your person who provided redemption for us. We must personally, definitely, and individually accept Christ as Savior. And most of the people here have and know that. But Lord, there's some people here today that don't know they've been saved. Some of them know they're not saved because they've never trusted Christ. They've never been born again the Bible way. And then, Father, there are others here today that have tried to substitute, like Cain did with his offering. They've tried to substitute something else for God's provision of Jesus as payment for our sin debt. And they're not saved either. They have no peace. They have no assurance. They can't claim they're saved with biblical authority because they've never been born again the Bible way. But they need to be saved today. Because now is the hour. Now is the time. Come now, You say in the Word of God. Lord, I'm asking You to help us to be honest with ourselves. Help us to admit our lost condition. For until we admit our lost condition, we can never trust You as Savior. Now, Lord, save every unsaved person in this building, we beg You in Jesus' name.